All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, January 29th of 2025. And looking ahead here, we have golf teeing off early tomorrow morning. So for those of you playing some golf, probably going to be building your lineups tonight. We have a 9-game NBA main slate, and then we also have a 5-game NHL main slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you also get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And then we do this show on Saturdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. So with that said, let's get SaberSim up and then let's get rolling with some questions here. So getting SaberSim up. I just kicked off this build, 500 lineups, two minimum changes here. And first question, mini neat question. So it says, I've watched all the coaching videos. Let me ask, on a large slate night, should I be landing on setting my min uniques at 3, or should that number be closer to 4 or 5? I would just feel better knowing what you guys land on with a large slate of games. Okay, so, you know, let's just talk about min uniques in general, right? It's always going to depend on a couple things. Number one, how many unique lineups are you playing? Okay, and then number two is going to be how many lineups are in your pool, all right? So like, for instance, right, let's say I have, 5,000 lineups, and let's say I'm playing 150, right? Okay, so if I need 150 out of 5,000, I did that backwards. Let's do 5,000 lineups in my pool. I need 150, right? Okay, well, that's about a 33-to-1 lineup to pool ratio. Okay, so for every 33 lineups, I'm going to play one on average, right? Well, if I'm playing 500 unique lineups, right? Okay, so then we do 5,000 divided by 500. Now the ratio is 10-to-1, right? So the number of lineups I'm playing out of my pool is going up, which means that there's just less optionality. Now, you know, when I need 500 uniques, my min uniques is going to probably be lower, right? Maybe I could get to 5 uniques with 150, but I'm playing 500, so maybe now I can only get to like 3, right? This is why it's basically impossible to say like, hey, just use this number and you're going to be fine. Because some people are playing, you know, 20 lineups out of 500, right? Like on the starter plan, maybe they're playing 20 lineups, right? 25-to-1 ratio. Maybe some people are playing, you know, 320 maxes, right? Okay, 500 divided by 60, right? And then now it's like 8-to-1. So it's super hard to just come on here and say, hey, you want to play, you know, this number, because people are playing different pools. People are playing different number of entries. People are playing different number of unique lineups, right? All those things come into play here, right? So what you really want to do, okay, is one of two things. And let's go set up a contest sim. This is basically always how you want to figure it out, one way or another, right? So I'm just going to set it up for the flagship contest for tonight. And I'm going to run my contest sim. So I'll talk about this for both starter plan and ultimate plan, okay? So I'll do like one demo with ROI and then one demo with Saber Score. All right, so first thing we need to do is come in here and kick off our contest sim, right? So while the contest sim runs, we can do the SaberScore version first, okay? So let's say I'm using SaberScore. Say I have 500 lineups in my pool, and this is, you know, my primary sorting metric, right? Let me switch back. Large slate, you know, 10 to 50K is fine. So what I would do here, right, I would set up this average projection aggregate metric because I think it's a very good data point to have. And then, you know, let's say I need 20 lineups, right? You know, this number could be 60. This number could be whatever amount of unique lineups you want to play. then I'm going to scroll down here to the last lineup in my set of however many unique lineups I have. So with Saber Score, what we recommend is trying to stay in the top 25 to 50% of your pool. Okay. So here I really don't want to go lower than like 250. Now, also, you know, I want to not sacrifice that much projection because projection is important. And then I also want to keep an eye on my exposures and my leverages, the stands I'm taking on the slate. Okay. So I'm looking at four things here. Average projection, number of my last lineup, the rank, exposure, leverage. Okay. And then I'm just going to start increasing. So we go from one to two. We go from two to three, right? You might have to scroll down here. Okay. Three uniques. We're only at lineup 22. We've sacrificed like 1 point projection. This looks great, right? Okay. Four uniques. Okay. Lineup 30. Still some high leverages to a couple players. Okay, five uniques. Okay, we dropped like 3 points projection now. We're at lineup 98, right? We're approaching that. We're right at about like 20%, 20% down here, right? So 500 lineups, 10% is 50. We're at 98. So I'm just saying like, you know, we're 20% down here, you know, because that would be 100, right? Okay, well, how does everything look? You know, we sacrificed about, you know, 3 to 4 points in projection to get to this point. You know, are we happy with our exposures and leverages, right? And maybe you are. Maybe you're okay, you know, getting to a lot of a seven value player on Cleveland, right? Maybe that's something you're fine with. Maybe you want to go back, right? I'm at five uniques. We probably could go one more. And we can. It gets us to line up. There is a case to stay at six. You know, if you prefer to play a super, you know, low leverage set of lineups, six is viable. You know, your leverages are pretty close to ownership and it is something you could do here, right? I liked five. Five made a lot more sense to me. You know, I'm taking a couple stands here on some of the best value plays on the slate where, you know, at lineup 100 out of 500, so 20% down here. Five feels good. You could also play four, right? Maybe you're like, you know what? I don't want to sacrifice the 3 points in average projection. I'm okay taking stands on some high-value plays. Four feels good to me, right? You could ask three different people and get three different answers. That's why, you know, I can't come on here and just say, hey, just use this number, right? You're probably going to be within some range, right? So you kind of mentioned it. You're like, hey, you know, should I be close? Am I going to be closer to three? Am I going to be like closer to four or five? You know, you got to figure out what that range is, and then you got to figure out what number makes the most sense to you. So here, I think four makes sense. I think five makes sense. I think six is a little far for me personally, but if you prefer to play, you know, a low leverage set of lineups, six would be okay. So in this example, right, anywhere from like four to six feels pretty okay. So that's just like the process you want to go through. Okay. And then that was like for starter, right? For ultimate, right? Like, let's say we're using ROI here, you know, we go switch to contest sim ROI. One thing I would do different, right, is I would have an average projection aggregate metric. And then I would also have an average ROI metric too, right? So I'm going to come in here, set up an ROI one. Okay. Now I see my ROI. And then from there, you know, I don't care as much about how far down in the pool I go. What I do care about is I don't want to play any negative ROI lineups. So the easiest way to prevent that is to just come in and set a filter. And let's just like get rid of some of these. So what I would do is I would come in here and I would say show lineups with generally you're going to want to use target contest ROI. Okay. I'm not going to use target because I don't have an entries file uploaded. So I would use target contest ROI greater than zero. What this is going to do is basically just move all of the negative ROI lineups to the trash, right? So when I come in and I click this drop down, I can see that we've trashed about 100 lineups here. So 98 lineups go directly into the trash. That leaves us with all of the positive ROI lineups. You know, in general, I'm mostly comfortable playing any positive ROI lineup, but you do want to favor the higher ones, right? So then now that I'm set up, right? Sorting by ROI, projection, ROI aggregate metrics, got my exposure, got my leverage. I don't need to worry about how far down in the pool I'm going. I'm mostly just metric watching at this point. So I'm going to go from 1 to 2. Okay, I'm going to go from 2 to 3. Okay, ROI dropped like 13% there. I think it's still okay. Okay, 4 uniques, ROIs down almost about 10% here, right? This is the kind of the point where I kind of want to start analyzing my other data points, right? And, you know, projections down only like 1.5 points. So this is fine. Projection looks good. But ROI is indicating to me that we need to, you know, check some stuff. So then I would come in here, right? Hey, do I like my exposures and my leverages, or do I want to be flatter, right? These don't really look that bad to me at all, but maybe you're like, you know what? I do want to go a little bit further. Okay, cool. We go down to 5. We drop, you know, about like 4 points total in projection now, about 100% ROI, so like 20%. But you know, maybe you come in here and you look, you're like, oh yeah, I like these leverages way better. I would rather sit on 5, right? So for me, the right number was 4. You know, maybe you come in here and you're like, you know what? I like 5 a little bit better. So it's always going to depend, but that is the same process you should be going through all the time, regardless of the plan you're on, regardless of how many unique lineups you're playing, how many lineups in your pool. You know, that process is basically set up in a way that you can use it no matter how many uniques you're playing, no matter how many entries you have, no matter how many lineups are in your pool. So when you do that over and over again, it should work out. You know, you should be able to find the right number. All right. Next question. Can you go over what affects setting max exposures, building, and then ignoring the max before saving to contest has versus following the same steps but not ignoring the max? Yeah, sure. So I entered a couple quick just free contests here for this so we could pull in the entries file. And then we go to our build. So the easiest way, in my opinion, to kind of understand this, and we'll do this using SaberScore because it might be a little bit easier. So I go over to autofill, right? So what are we talking about first? So I go to autofill and we're talking about these two columns, ignore min exposure, ignore max exposure. Okay. So what do these columns do? So, or why are they even here in the first place? So the reason we created these was because people like to manage exposures across, you know, 20 maxes, 150 maxes, et cetera. Maybe they don't want to play, you know, 100% of a player across 20 lineups, right? So, okay, they go in to the player table and then they say, hey, you know, I want to do, you know, 50 max exposure rather than 100, right? Okay, that's fine. You know, for your 20 lineups, whatever, you know, you limit it to 50%, right? Makes a ton of sense. But when you set the 50%, it's going to stop the player from getting in to any single entry contest if you use autofill. And the reason for that is because when you use autofill, it's effectively doing a single entry, right? So if I come in here and I only check one contest, right? Okay, so I have one lineup. All the players have 100% exposure because they're in one out of one lineups. If a player has 50% max, then the builder will not put them in the lineup because of that max exposure, because it's not 100%. So usually people don't want that, right? They're like, hey, you know, I was trying to limit the exposure to my player across all my lineups. I didn't want to leave this player out of every single entry that I'm playing. That is the point for these columns. It allows you to manage exposure across multi-entry contests while not excluding the player from being in single-entry lineups, okay? So the question, ignoring Max before saving the contest. So the same way we just did this with like Jonas Valanciunas, right? So note, see, I'm on like lineup two. And let's just reset this. Let's go click apply. Uncheck one. So remember, whatever autofill does, you can do in direct fill just slower, right? So here, let's say that I have a 50% max exposure to Jonas Valanciunas, right? Well, if this automatically puts me to lineup two, this lineup two would go into my contest if I had these columns checked. If I had these columns turned off and I used autofill and I click save, I would actually get the number one lineup instead of the number two, because it would be ignoring the 50% max exposure that I set to Jonas Valanciunas. That is the difference. It is going to ignore these columns and put the best lineups into your single entry rather than exclude a bunch of players or include a bunch of players, right? If you have two minimum exposures, even as little as 10%, it's going to make the builder use a lineup with that player because the exposure is higher than zero, right? Now it drops us down to lineup 13 because I have a 10% to Jokic, right? So it you know, single entries are all or nothing. It's zero or 100. So the ignore minimax allows you to have exposure set, but not have such a massive impact on the lineups you get in your single entry contest, right? Because if I have, you know, 10% Jokic and 10% Wemby, right? You know, the builder might have to go super far down to find a lineup that meets that. And here it had to go all the way down to lineup 386 for like two super small minimum exposure adjustments, right? And this probably isn't even the effect that I meant to have here. So that's what the ignore minimax columns do. All right. Follow up to the Minunique, and then we'll keep answering questions. Isaiah said, so basically use more Minuniques when there is a big game slate like tonight, 9 games. So it's not that you should use more Minuniques. It's that you can use more Minuniques. And the reason for that, right, is because the player pool is bigger. This game, you know, big 9-game slate, right? You're gonna have, you know, I don't know, 7 to 8, you know, viable players per team, right? And then, you know, you multiply that 8 times, I don't know, 9 games, 18. So then we're working with like big numbers, like 100, and there's probably like 140, 150, you know, viable players in the player pool tonight, right? Okay, well, like chop this down and do like a 4-game slate like yesterday. I think it was 4-game slate yesterday. And, you know, now there's half of that, right? There's 75 players in the player pool. So, you know, that has an impact as well, right? The number of players in the player pool is also going to determine how much diversification you can get just because of like raw lineup options, raw lineup diversity as far as swapping players in or out, right, of similar value. So player pool / games on the slate is going to have an effect on the number of uniques you can get to as well. So in general, yeah, you can expect to get to less uniques on a 2-game slate as you can a 9-game slate for sure. All right, good stuff there. Jumping back to questions as they're rolling in. Question from Rob. I've tried Roto Grinder Sim and Stochastic Sim. Thinking about trying Saber Sim. What should I expect that's different from the rest of the Sims? Good question. So I don't know too much about our competitors' products. I don't spend a lot of time like analyzing them or anything. From what I do know, and if my information is outdated, I apologize. But last I checked, they don't provide field lineups for you. You have to provide your own lineups, or you have to build your own lineups representing what the lineups in your contest are going to look like. So here, right, if we go into SaberSim, we go to the contest tab, and we have this field lineups column, right? You click this drop down, you can see all the different options we have. There are 12 options based on stakes, based on number of entries allowed. So what we've done is we've gone and back tested these contests And our data science team has figured out, like, hey, lineups in these contests often look like X, often look like Y, often look like Z, right? So first off, we found differences in the amount of money you have to pay to enter the contest. Is this a $1 contest? Is it a $5? Is it a $30? Is it $100 or more, right? You could see what those differences are. If you like add a custom contest sim, you click this I. It says our field lineup entry fees are broken down like this. Low stakes is $4 and under. Flagship is $4 to $30. Medium is $30 to $99. And then high stakes is $100 or more. We found differences in how players play across these four specific sections of entry fees, right? And then not only that, we found differences in how players build lineups across if they have one entry, if they have 20 entries, or if they have 150 entries, right? So we're providing that information for you. And we think our fields are very, very accurate because we've back tested across thousands and thousands of slates. We're not asking you to do it. We're not saying, hey, you know, you create the what the lineups in your contests are going to look like and you build them and then use those, right? So we think that separates us a ton. And it is the primary reason our field lineups aren't downloadable in case you guys ever try to do that. You cannot download the SaberSim field lineups because we think they're super valuable. So as far as sims go, you know, we run our sim 100,000 times. I don't know how many times our competitors run it. Last I heard it was like 40,000, 50,000, right? So we're running the contest sim, you know, twice as much as they are. And then we're providing field lineups for you as well. So those are big things. All right. Jimmy said, I want to be honest. I started with a bankroll of $3,000 back in September, and I only play NFL and NBA. I follow the profit plan, which is no more than 5% for a slate. I'm down to $836. Is that normal? I don't know if that's normal or not. Honestly, Jimmy, the best thing that you can do is sign up for our build review show. We do that show twice a week, Mondays and Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. On the show, what happens is I go into SaberSim and I go and look at the contest you're playing. I look at your sim ROI results in contest flashback. I look at your builds where you actually built your lineups. And then I give you like personalized feedback and advice like, hey, I think you should change this. Hey, based on your results, we need to focus on this and that. And then we go into the build, see the decisions you made. Okay, let's try X, Y, and Z instead of A, B, and C, right? And then we give you like this, you know, very clear and specific feedback about what I think you should change in your builds. I think that's the best thing that you can do here. And so if you want to sign up for the build review show, there's two main ways to do it. Email us, support@sabersim.com, or post in the office hours channel in Discord. All you need to do is let me know what sport, site, and slate you want me to review, and then provide your username. If you're playing on DraftKings, that's great. And I will add you to the list for the next show. So that's going to be the best thing in this case. Okay. So Jimmy said, I had that in the past and you said, I'm doing everything correct. We can always circle back. You know, it's okay to do more than one review and just see how you're doing lately. Right. So that's a big thing as far as like general, you know, long-term result expectations go, right? DFS is a super high variance game. And, you know, this is a snapshot from bankroll simulations that we did. And you can see here, you know, this player had a 20% expected ROI in this contest. Okay. What we do is we run season simulations for the players. So like this player is, you know, 20% better than the competitors, right? And then each line here represents a different season, a different time. We put this player through 160 days playing every single day. Now, unfortunately, even though this player is a long-term winner, there are seasons, full 160 days, where this player loses, right? This blue line is zero, breaking even. You know, there are some lines down here and even lower where a winning player can have a bad season. It's super unfortunate and it sucks to know like, hey, I'm doing everything right, but you know, continue to lose, but it does happen, right? So, you know, that is one of the realities of playing a high variance peer-to-peer game like DFS. But it doesn't always happen, right? That's a smaller percentage of the time. And oftentimes, you know, when you do have a winning expectation, you are one of these lines above zero. So the best we could do is, you know, circle back on your builder view and see how everything's looking, you know, now as opposed to before. And I'd be happy to do that. So if you want to sign up for the show again, let me know. All right, good stuff there. Follow up from Rob said, yeah, I'm going to check you guys out. That sounds very valuable. With that, I will know how to get different in a contest. Right on. And, you know, we do this show 5 days or 6 days a week, actually. So feel free to stop by anytime with questions, or you can always reach out to our support team. Easiest way is through the question mark up here in the top right. You send us a message, goes to our team, and then we'll get back to you there. All right, good stuff there. Question from Brian. I think this is next. Brian said, if I want to play NBA 20 max, 150 max, and single entry, would you recommend having three separate builds and changing the ownership settings according to that specific slate? I don't think you need to do so. I think that, you know, it is totally fine to build all of your lineups together in a single build. This is what we recommend. This is what I do personally, right? Building all my lineups in a single build. I think that's the best thing. And then if you want to, you know, pick a specific, you know, ownership to compare your leverage against, then I would just pick like your preferred contest, whatever contest you care the most about, whatever contest you have the most entry fees in, whatever contest you have the most entries in, right? Some of those are probably correlated, but then I would just come into the my own, change it accordingly. So I think it's totally fine to build all your lineups together. All right, good stuff there. Taking a peek in the office hours channel, seeing how things are going over there. And looks like we're all caught up. So caught up in the office hours channel, caught up here in the YouTube chat. So I think we are going to call it there. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, Thursday for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.